Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, did you get a message from me? That's crazy. Come on, yes. I'm going to take full advantage of that. I had to laugh because I thought I sent you a message. How are you? Praise God. Hi there. Yes, come on, give me. Oh, yes, I got a little bit. Hey, handsome. Whoa, there's a lot of power in that. Are we ready to start? Am I late? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to tell you something. My sweetie pie isn't with me today. And what that means is that you guys are all in trouble. Because I tell you what, this wild horse needs the reins and the harness that only that young Missy and the Holy Ghost can put upon her and put upon him. And I got to tell you something. Who knows what we're going to end up preaching today? Who knows what's going to happen? But I will tell you that you have already been touched by God. I got to tell you something. I felt something in the atmosphere today. And I'll be honest with you. I felt people surging and coming to church even when they didn't feel like it. I felt people that were being hindered today that made a determination that nope, no matter what's going on, I'm going to go. I heard that people this week had high moments and rough moments, but Bob, when it comes down to when the rubber needs to meet the road, this man chose God. And I want you to know something, that God is so excited about your faith. When you begin to honor Jesus, when you wipe yourself off from the roughness of life, and no matter how difficult it is, when you rise up and say, hey, even if I made my own decisions to make my life tough, from this day forward, I'm going to open my heart up and see what God can do. Let me tell you something. When you begin to say those kinds of things, when you begin to open your heart up, there is a God in heaven that is so focused on you that he's coming toward your life. I will tell you that as of today, I want you to know there's a brand new spirit in the house, and it is the spirit of the next level of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that we are the church of the second mile. I want you to know that your future is secure and you're about to see destinies unfold. And you had better make sure that you are living right. You better make sure that you're not afraid of this Bible. You better make sure that you are being sincere in your faith, because there's a God that's going to honor your truth, honor your humility, and honor your ability to go towards life even in the midst of battle. Amen? Now I tell you what, I want you to just press into God today. I want you to have your spirits open today. And I want you to know that you are going to see the Lord. I'm telling you, in these next several months, even before we get to the end of the year, the testimonies are just going to keep flowing. I'm telling you, I'm starting to hear so many testimonies. Do you know that we had a woman in our first service that thought she could never have children again? Well, we snuck a prayer in on her a Sunday morning about a year ago. And what she didn't know was just a few months after that, her and her husband had put a seed in that belly. And I want you to know that she found out at 31 weeks she was pregnant. Hadn't had the first morning sickness, hadn't had the first problem. She said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm 31 weeks pregnant. I said, well, if I was you, I'd go get my ultrasound and I'd go get my test and prove that that baby's a healthy young baby. And then I'd enjoy my next 8 weeks. And I got to tell you something. I told her, I said, you got friends and relatives that are going to be mad at you, girl. And it happened 3 days after that, because she only had 8 weeks of pregnancy that she knew of. 8 weeks of pregnancy, healthy baby girl come popping out of that woman, looking good, smelling good. Her poopy ain't stinking yet. It will one day, and she'll be bad about doing them diapers. But right now, I tell that baby's poopy ain't even stinking, and they are just rejoicing 8 weeks. I said, girl, that's unfair. And sure enough, she said, oh my goodness, Pastor, my friend just told me that she's pregnant. She ain't due till March. She said, I told her I'd have to pray for her, but I don't know what she's going to do about what it takes these first 30 weeks. She said, but I'll support you from 31 weeks on. Hallelujah. But listen to me, people. Strange things, miracles, lives, supernatural change is going to happen. It's already taking place. It's already taking place. There are so many testimonies. I tell you what, we got a testimony coming in a few weeks about a job. We got a testimony coming in a week or two about a house. I tell you what, I got some people that I got to work on them and make sure I understand their testimonies, but you should see. There's a woman in the first service called Miss Linda over there. She drove down to see relatives in about a 10-year-old van and came back with a 3 to 5-year-old Cadillac. Fully loaded SUV to the hilt, and all she had to do was exchange titles. Not one payment associated. You better get ready for strange things. I'm looking over there, and we got a baby that... How old's our little baby today? I mean, how old is she now? 3 or 4? 2 and a half? My goodness. Oh, there you are. Boy, I can't wait till you get a little older. Because, girl, you are supernatural. Yeah, it's all mama. Yep, it's mom and dad's fault. Yep, because they believe for the supernatural, young lady, and we're glad you're here. You're a precious miracle. You are a precious miracle. And if you don't know her story, all you got to do is ask them, and they'll tell you a story that'll blow your mind. And I have a recording of it. I'm going to keep it. But it's time for us to step into this moment. It's time for us to step into this time of worship. Got some important announcements today, but the biggest one is that honor is due our God. It's time for this nation. And you know what? The nation cannot turn towards God till the church turns towards God. What has happened to us that we have become so lackadaisical, so unfocused, so irreverent to our God? It is time for us to pick our game up, so to speak. Amen? Because if we want the world to be saved, hello, the church got to get saved. Some of that false doctrine I hear taught today, I tell you what, that stuff shouldn't even be taught in the house of Satan. Oh, Jason, if you came out of the bar stumbling drunk, brother, you're still saved. You're a liar. The Bible says that once we're saved, our hands and our life will produce the works that are reflective of Jesus Christ. And if after we're saved, we're still acting like we were in the bar, after we're saved, if we're still cussing and fussing and living like devils, you didn't get anything. Because I tell you what, when the Jesus Christ I know comes into the spirit of a man or a woman, I tell you what, you will rise up in the power of the strength of God, and things will leave your life in a moment of time. You might have a little bit of something left over that we got to put the word around to dig out of you. But I tell you what, if you ever truly get saved, you'll know you're saved. This young man here knows he's saved. Boy, did we have a time together, huh? You can't tell people that I'm as crazy outside of church as I am in the church. They'll get time to know. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you, we lift you up, we declare your glory. And Father, we honor you today. Father, it is time for us, the church, to give you the honor that's due, Father. It's time for us to not be fearful. It's time for us to set our priorities with you as a focus. It's time for us to not be offendable, to not be babyish, but to be filled with the power and the might of our saving Lord, who can bring us out of darkness and bring us into the future. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God amen. Bless you. Let's worship him today.
Stand your feet with us this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've never clapped your hands, today's the day. You can clap your hand. If you've never jumped, there's freedom in this house this morning to jump. The altars are open. If you need to dance, if you need to run, there is freedom in this house this morning.
What's given to my hand now? Get me out of the living waters. You're the wellspring, you're stirring. It's life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen. Sing it.
Going deeper, deeper still into your love.
tell him how good he is. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song, 'cause you are good, you're good. This morning. You're faithful.
God of miracles. sing it out for me.
This morning, we magnify your name. You are our Father. We cry, Abba, Father, to you this morning, God. We worship your name. We thank you for your peace, your love, your joy. God, and ultimately, we thank you for our salvation. If you did nothing else for us, God, but save us. God, we are so forever grateful for you, for your love. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance, salvation for our families this morning, healing for family, for friends. God, we just worship your name this morning on high, God. Sets the addict free. He delivers. That's what Jesus does. Gives me freedom. Opens prison doors. Jesus does. We're going to sing this morning again. God delivers. He sets free. He's still in that healing business this morning. He heals the broken, sets the addict free. He delivers. That's what Jesus does. Gives me freedom. Opens prison doors. He breaks every chain. That's what Jesus does. Oh, that's what Jesus does. Raging sea, restless find their peace. That's what Jesus does. Speaks forgiveness, responds to every need, restores the hope in me. That's what Jesus does. He gives me mercy, calms a raging sea, restless find. Jesus does. Come on. He speaks forgiveness, responds to every need, restores the hope in me. That's what Jesus does. Whoa, that's what Jesus does. Come on, sing. I declare this morning, always faithful, never changing, always faithful, never changing. You're always faithful, always faithful. You to remember all the times that God has been faithful, because sometimes the devil will want us to forget, so we doubt that God is faithful. So today I call you into remembrance of the things that God has done in your life, so you can just declare today that God is faithful. He's never failed you. So it's our time today to say always faithful, never changing, because guaranteed if something's changed, it was us and not him.
Same for me. You
do the same for me. Come on, let's sing that again. I know. And I know you've done it for them all. You'll do the same for me. You'll do the same for me, 'cause you're faithful. Your heavenly language this morning. You know, when you exercise something or when you learn a different language, sometimes it starts out small, but we got to exercise that heavenly language this morning. God, we worship you.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord in the house all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to know, that sometimes I like to make statements because I like for you to know something. That Jesus is Lord in this house, and Jesus is Lord in all houses, whether you recognize him or not.
Amen.
Listen, I tell you what, we live in a world where they act like there's so many options out there. I mean, do you know that we live in a world where they act like they have a right to say, hey, young lady, come up here, please. Yeah, come up here. Now, I'm particularly happy to see everybody, but I'm particularly happy to see you. And I just want to give you a hug. I know you are. If you don't know, that's Miss Heather. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're just glad to have her here this morning. Now, I want each of you guys to understand something. That I love and respect every one of you. And I'm excited because you guys have been using your faith. I tell you what, all I've been doing is hearing testimonies of people getting new jobs, getting promoted, relationships getting fixed, people getting set free. I'm telling you, we have some strange things happening. I mean, strange. In our first service, we had a woman that had a healthy newborn baby and was 31 weeks pregnant and didn't even know it. She said, Pastor, what am I going to do? I said, well, I guess you're just going to celebrate these 8 weeks you know about and have a healthy baby. And that's exactly what happened. Is that strange or what? She said that I told her, I said, your friends are going to be mad at you, young lady. And I want each and every one of you in here to understand that there are miracle stories happening around you all the time. And I tell you what, that I don't just want miracle stories happening around you. I want you to be a miracle story. Amen? And you are. But there's a whole nother dimension of what God has for us. Amen? I want you to know something. Now listen to me. It is critically important for you to know that you going to church with people is not enough. Hello. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. I love it. Got quiet. You know, every now and then I like to make a statement that you can really grab a hold of. You going to church together and you saying you're part of a church family is not good enough. You actually have to be a church family. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start practicing relationships with you. Amen? See, like Nathan. Nathan, do you have any guys here that are part of this church that you regularly meet with, talk to, spend time with? Oh, you're lucky. Oh, buddy, you're fortunate. You're fortunate. You're fortunate. You're fortunate. Buddy, you're getting off the hook easy. I'm trying to see who I'm looking. Oh, there she is. Uh-oh. There you are. I got a question for you. Outside of Tassie, who is your, you know, your biological, and outside of the handsome young man back there and these babies, do you have anybody in this church, part of your church family, that you regularly meet with? Okay. I'm going to be very gracious towards you. You have till Thanksgiving to develop a relationship with someone within these four walls of this church that can be a sister, a mother figure, even a daughter figure. But you have your choice. But you need to let God help you, because guess what happens if you don't have one by Thanksgiving? No, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to assign some relationships to you. Amen? And listen, I'm going to probably pick people that will be iron sharpening iron. You may, by the Holy Ghost, pick someone who you get along with real well. Amen? But here's what I want you to know, Miss Darlene. God did not bring anybody together in the church and put them in the church or anywhere where they didn't develop friendships belong their biological family. So that's something, and I hate to call you out in public and put you on notice, but you got till Thanksgiving, and I did this in the first service. Oh, you're lucky. I'm not going to pick on you today. I'm not going to pick on you. You've been doing good, so I can't even bother you. Uh-oh, for some reason, it's another lady. It's another lady. Hi there. How are you doing? I got a question for you. Do you have someone in the church outside of mom and biological connections? Someone who you're faith-related, not blood-related, in this church that you hang out with regularly? No, you're blood related. You are biologically related. That don't count. I want to know, do you have someone here? Now, it can be a sister. It can be a mother figure. Do you have anybody here that you hang out with regularly? Mm-hmm. You got till October. You get grace. You got till Thanksgiving. You got till the midweek of October, and I need to have an established relationship with you and a friend in this church. It could be a mother figure, it can be a sister figure, but there's got to be someone that you're regularly communicating with, praying about something with, beyond yourselves. Now listen to me, we are going to be a church of not only the second mile, but we're going to be a church of family and community. And I got to tell you something, Nathan. Your family is beyond your biological bloodline. And I'm telling you that God did not bring you to be a part of a church. Uh-oh. 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 Do you got some people? Oh, okay. I got to let her go. Amen. Amen. David. Do you have some men here outside of, you know, me that you regularly stay in contact with and that you know?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
All right, I'll talk to you about that after church. I want to know that list and make sure that I see it. Okay, now listen. The rest of you, I'm not going to pick on you today. Because I gave you an example of what's going to be happening every month from now till we get to the new building. Because I got to get you in practice of meeting people by the time we get to the next place. And I can't believe, I'm repenting right now because I said, Lord, there's nobody in the church that doesn't know people. But I got to tell you something. I'm glad that I have found myself wrong. In the first service, I had the same experience. And now in this service, as loving as you guys are, there's still the fact that some people have been amongst each other, not even knowing each other. That will cause division and strife, and it'll cause fear from the devil to make you think you're not loved or wanted.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, you could have fear. You can have fear towards people just because you don't know them, thinking they're thinking bad about you, and they're nothing but encouraged by your faith and your testimony. So we're going to make sure that doesn't happen anymore. Amen? So, Miss Lady back there, you got till October when? Middle of October, hallelujah. And Miss Darlene, you have till when? Thanksgiving time, amen. So we're going to talk and check in with those guys. See, because I can't hide it now. You're accountable in front of everybody. So I'm going to check in with you guys before then and make sure that I help you get there, amen. Say second mile.
Second mile.
Yeah. Do you know that the Bible says that number one way that you can prove that you are part of the family of God is not just what you do for yourself? So many people today think that just because I prophesy or sing or just because I'm saved that I'm fulfilling destiny. I got to tell you something. That's only 133% of your responsibility. In order to get 100% of your responsibility, you have to be a reconciler. That means you have to help other people live for God. And then you have to be an ambassador. That means that you have to represent Christ to people and you have to bring other people into his goodness because of how you represent him. Amen. Then you reach 100% of your responsibility. And so what I want you to know is that some of you think you're doing a good job because you pray by yourself, you worship by yourself, you walk by yourself, you stay out of sin by yourself. That's your first level. We're the church of the second mile. You know that scripture says in Matthew 5:41, I believe, I don't know, you might want to look it up and read it, make sure I got it doctrinally sound, but it says that if you were to see somebody walking a mile, then you would go and take what they were carrying and you would take it and walk to, amen, and give them a break, amen. And I tell you what, it's time for us to get beyond ourselves and get to where Jesus wants us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I tell you what. I better let the children go, huh? Because I'm a little wild this morning. Honey, if you're looking, I love you, but this is your fault. You left me unbridled. Hallelujah. And I want you guys to pray for Pastor Regina. You know, we have just been through a season of seeking and just wanting to get to the next level with God. We have some assignments this week, which we'll be back here Thursday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we got some assignments. We got to go traveling all over and doing some stuff. But you know why? Because we're not going to be the same people you've known up till now. We're going to have another measure of love. We're going to have another measure of the presence of God because we continue to grow so that people are safe. Amen. You know, I got to tell you something. You don't have this responsibility. You have the responsibility to live right. You have the responsibility to take yourself to heaven and watch over your family. But you know, when you're called to be a pastor, everybody thinks it's all about preaching the message on Sunday. Listen, this is the last thing I want to do. Because when I preach, I have to be accountable for sound doctrine. I have to be accountable for making sure I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God. Because the Bible says that if your pastor would get to heaven and be found guilty of misusing the word or preaching something wrong, I would have blood on my hands that would bust me sending myself right into hell because I misled people. And I want you to know something, Mr. Nathan. This is why I'm so hard to swallow sometimes. You know, sometimes I come in and you feel like you ate a piece of a chocolate chip cookie. But sometimes I come in and my word goes down like a coarse piece of rock with glass stuck in it. That's because that's my stinking job. And so that's why some days you're going to love me and other days you're going to think, where did this little crazy man come from? And you have to learn how to swallow it all. Amen. But I will tell you that Pastor Regina, she'll probably yell at me for saying this, but she has been just seeking God this week. She's been praying. She's been interceding for the church. You know, she said to me yesterday, Jason, she said, Philip, she said, I just want everybody to be able to be safe and for everybody to grow. She says, and if someone were to leave our church, she says, then my question is, what is lacking in us? As pastors, what is lacking in us? What's lacking in us, Philip, that we couldn't help someone get to where they could be whole enough to pursue God? What's lacking in us? You know, I think it's so funny because we don't spend one time thinking bad about you guys. We don't. You know, if someone backslides, if someone goes somewhere, I'm not looking at them and wondering what's wrong with them. I'm saying, Lord, what can I do to be more like Jesus, so that if it's the demoniac, I got something to set him free. If it's the man at the well after 38 years, what's in me to set him free? Give me the words. Give me the anointing, God. Give me the power to break the devil off of people and give me the power to be strong enough to love them and help them get there. Listen, I don't want to lose one sheep. We leave the 99. Now, we leave them safe and we keep them together, but we leave them to pursue the one. That's who we're always going to be. Now, listen to me before I get too far into the service and before I lose myself in whatever we're going to preach today. I need a young lady by the name of Miss Mona Kearns to come up here because, you know, we believe in prayer. We believe in intercession. And it's probably been, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Probably been 7, 8, 9 months where I first talked to you, and you probably thought, is he ever going to have me do this? But you know, we always want to give the extra time, the extra mile. We always want to love people. So we have been in our hearts for a long time wanting to have some additional intercessory prayer here. So what's going on is that I challenged Miss Mona to pray and some others to pray, and we came up with the idea that for God and for man, that fourth day of the week is Wednesday. And we came up with the idea that if we were going to set a time for God's grace, this wasn't me. These are the people I asked to pray about it. They came up with the idea that, well, my goodness, maybe we could start at 5, God's grace, and we could pray for a couple hours till 7 and enter into his rest. Amen? So what's going to happen is from this day forward, even starting this week, see, now I told her the first one I'm going to be at and I'm going to do all this. Well, she made me into a liar because I got to be out of town this Wednesday. And I thought she'd want another week to pray about it. But I guess we've been praying about it since the beginning of the year. So I guess she's ready. But what's going to happen is on Wednesday of this week, this church is going to be open at 5 o'clock p.m. And what we want to do is pick a time where people that have to work first and second and third shift. And if there's a time in the morning where people say, Pastor, we work third or we work this. And if there's another time that people want the church open for prayer, let us know. We will help you. If you can't make it to Wednesday, just let us know. But we're going to be wanting you to be interceding for the church, interceding for the city, interceding for your pastors, praying. P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, praying for your pastors. Not praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on your pastors. Amen? But anyhow, so this young lady's going to kick it off, and you just have some things to say. 5 o'clock this week, you walked in, you probably got keys and responsibilities shoved at you like that quick, and you're ready to go. Amen?
First of all, I want to say that when I first started here, I said to the Lord, I said, God, I said the same things that I already know I'm hearing with this pastor, and I don't understand why you have me here. And the next day after I prayed that, the pastor was preaching, and He got right up in my face when he was preaching, and he said, some of you have already heard this word, but the Lord says you need to hear it again. And I knew right then and there that this is where I belong. But I've watched him and Pastor Regina grow over the years, and I've watched everybody in the church grow over the years. And I'm ready to grow even deeper and deeper with the Lord, and I want people to be on board. And I'm ready to start this adventure. And I know that it's going to be for a season, and it's going to be passed down to someone else. And I would like for everybody that can, able-bodied, to be there. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I got to tell you something. That whether you recognize it or not, and I know you do, and I pray you do, but I look out and seriously, I'm telling you, I see people that are stronger than they've ever been before in their faith. Listen, I see people that are battle-tested and ready to knock the devil down another notch or two. Amen? And listen, when I look at you guys, I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you that I don't know if Miss Mona would have stood up there and said anything like that when I first met her. No. But listen, people are growing. People are using their faith. I trust you. Listen to this. My son Philip is off preaching at the big church today. And I was late this morning for the first service, and I called one of my men of accountability and said, hey, have Philip get things open. I forgot. He's covering this whole week in Botkins because they got people out on vacation. You know what I like? They used to bring in children's church pastors from around the world. Texas, the last, you could go back and look. Whenever they had the week of Pentecost, they had vacation Bible school, it was this person, this person, this person. You know, the last couple years, even this year, twice, you know who they called in? Jared Kaiser. Amen? Amen. So listen, you better recognize who you are. You better humble yourself. You better be glad to be a part of what we are doing. But you also better circumcise yourself and get ready for what God has next for you. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And listen to me. We so believe in you guys. Listen, this morning when I was going to be running a little late and I had to take a few extra minutes for my babe and to take care of some things, and he even had to stop at Botkins for a minute before I ran over here, I called the guys and I said, hey, do this and this. And I said, Philip will take care of it, because I forgot where he was. By the time I got here, listen, they had already made the adjustments. Jared covered for Philip, and I didn't even have to know about it. And I got here, and the presence of God was just thumping all up in the house. I had to stand outside for a few extra minutes, because at the 8:30 service, y'all guys, without me or Pastor Regina here, just had this place rocking. And I tell you what, I said, man, I want to come in and just be part of the congregation today, amen? So I want to thank you guys for being the church of the second mile. You know, Jason, what I like is that when I'm not here, I believe the church is as safe, maybe even safer than when I'm here. How can it be safer? Because oftentimes when the pastor's in town, the church is relaxing. But one thing I have found out is that when I'm out of town, you guys have a heightened awareness of being ready to go for the King. And I tell you what, we're going to step into the next level of things. Are you ready? I'm only allowed to preach this way to you. If you don't like how I'm preaching in this season, it's your fault. They always tell you, if you come through that door once, shame on me. You come through that door twice, shame on you. Amen? But I want you to know something. Praise the name of the Lord. Boy, honey, see, this is where I need you to bridle me in. Where you at? I love you. But listen to this. I want you guys to understand something. I can only deliver what the body's ready for. Listen, most people, when they don't like the services and stuff, they're asking what's wrong with the pastor. I got to tell you something. If you look at Scripture, if your pastor's living right, working right, praying, fasting, and doing his part, and you better believe this little wild black man is, it ain't ever the pastor's problem. Paul said, I come into you guys with the desire to preach to you strong milk. I came in here, I've been fasting and praying, and I've been carrying a burden, and I thought I was going to get to release it in this house, but I come in a bunch of whiny, soft cake, no giving no time to God. You ain't been fasting, you ain't been praying, you ain't been reading the word. All you've been doing is social media and doing all this trash. You don't even got a scripture in your heart. So I come in here, and all I can do is go to Milkland. Milkland is boring to me. I don't like Milkland. Listen, I ate enough cookies and milk when I was a little boy. I don't even like to eat cookies till I've done ate a lot of meat and veggies and good stuff. Hallelujah. So from now on, I want you to understand something. If you want this vessel to be able to deliver you a sure word from heaven, then come in here with your life clean, come in here with your heart clean, come in here with a heart towards God, let your problems go, and hear what God wants to say to you, and you will get something out of the word I preach. See, people don't like how I talk, but I don't talk in the natural. What's in that word is what I speak. And if you're carnal and fleshy and all you do is Facebook, and if you're offendable and you're weak-hearted and you've been in the church 30 years and I still got to clean your diaper up, let me tell you something. If you've been in the church for any time at all and someone not shaking your hand or someone giving you a bad look just because they might be having a bad day, shame on you. I mean, I don't even think about that stuff. Boy, I got people coming in here that looked at me mean and they never said hi to me twice unless I talked to them. And I never think bad about them. Jeannie, now you were real kind from day one, weren't you? From day one, you came in here and said, Pastor Phil, I love you. You're great. Hallelujah. Boy, from day one, I used to have to sprint the 100-yard dash. What was that guy that won? What's that guy from Jamaica that broke the... Yeah, I could outrun Usain Bolt trying to get to her sometime. She'd come in, she'd sit back there, she'd look the whole service, and then if she could, she'd get out that door. And I'd say, hey, how you doing? Good. But look at her today. She reaches towards people, loves on people. Today she was talking to me, hugs me, even though she, I think, does she know that she's on camera hugging a little black man? You're on Facebook Live, Jeannie. Stand up. Come here, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, there's a guy that goes to church here by the name of Chad Smith. You know, the Lord didn't let me talk to him for over a year. Now, you'd think that that would be a rude pastor, didn't you? But the Lord told me, he said, hey, when you see him or his nice little kind wife, hallelujah, he said, you just wave at him. Just be nice. Don't go invite them to church. Don't do the religious little blah, blah, blah. Just be nice to them. Why? Because they had seen enough religious failure that they were puking in their belly even when they saw someone from the church. And I tell you what, it's my job to hear what people need and what they don't need. And it's your job not to judge and know that I'm smart enough to know what this sheep needs and that sheep needs. The only thing sheep always need at the same time is their wool sheared. Other than that, sheep need a little different food, a little different. Some sheep have to stay on formula a little longer. Some sheep can handle a little rougher stuff. Some sheep need this kind of meal, this kind of meal. Now, y'all need your wool sheared. We'll get that done every Sunday, hallelujah. But don't you dare judge what I feed that sheep one-on-one compared to that sheep one-on-one. And I ain't paying favors with you. I love each one of you as just as deep as I love the other one. Amen? Don't worry, Miss Tina and Miss Darlene are not going to be the only people in the next few weeks that I ask who do they have a relationship outside of their biological family. And I might give the next person 3 days to get it done. Amen? Say hallelujah. Boys, you can tell without Miss Regina here, I can go anywhere I want to, and who knows where I'm going. Hallelujah. Did we release the children already?
We did.
About 10 minutes ago.
Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
You can do offering.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can do offering, and then I can preach to you for the second time. Because I think you feel you already got the first message out the way. Amen. Listen, do you guys mind if I just sometimes do what I believe God wants me to do? Do you guys mind if sometimes we don't just follow script?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what I like to follow. The voice of the Lord that can move us in a millisecond of time.
Amen.
You know, I love it because the scripture says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. People always think that that means I should be quick to hear the gossip. I should be quick to hear about someone's sin. I should be quick to hear about someone's whine, and I should be quick to hear what the neighbors had to say. No, it means be quick to hear the Holy Ghost. so that you can discern what you're seeing, what you're hearing. And be quick to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say, so that when words come out of your mouth, they're not filled with trash, they're filled with life. I got to tell you, sometimes I'll have people call me and say, Pastor, this is going on. I say, Hallelujah, that's awesome. They said, no, did you hear what I said? This is going on. I say, Hallelujah, that's awesome. They'll say, no, I'm being tormented. And what I like to tell them is, that's good. No, that's bad. No. You just made a challenge to the devil. You just made a challenge to change your life. You just made a challenge to go deeper. Listen, if a Christian makes a challenge to go deeper and all they get to do is go down the lazy river without a challenge, they ain't done nothing. They're liars. Uh-oh. Because what I understand by man is that Jesus didn't get attacked because he was falling down into sin. He's one of the only men in the Bible who had a face-to-face confrontation with Satan. And it was not because he was living wrong. It's because he's living right. Listen, if you run out of the church and go back into sin and nothing bad happens, you didn't have nothing to begin with. Shaka-ta-ka-la-la-ko. Woo! We're going to hit something today. Just like this, you know how sometimes I like to reach out to people and say, hey, God's man of faith and power for this hour. And Jeannie, they'll say, does he think I'm only strong for an hour? What they don't know is that I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that a day is as a thousand years. A thousand years is as a day to the Lord. So if a day can equal a thousand years, what can an hour equal? See, I done tricked you into being faithful till you're 120 years old. You ain't even know it. See, you got to understand the word of God. Quit being so babyish that we're just barely in the beginning stages of our faith. Get deep. Grow up. Give God some honor. Bless his holy name. Now for offering this day. I was going to dig into that scripture that talks about how if we won't take care of the Lord's house, how in the world can he take care of our house? But I'm going to save that till next week. Today, I'm just asking you to gird up your spirit and get a conviction to believe that the Bible's real. See, if you believe the Bible's real, then I'll never even have to talk to you again about your tithe. You will tithe because you know God. You'll give offerings because you know God. And I'm telling you right now that at some point, you should not be giving because I give you a rousing offering message. That's why I love it. When I forget to give offering, boy, I get envelopes flashing all over the church. See, I can safely forget offering because I got people out here that believe what they believe. I don't have to worry about an offering message because even if I forget it, and sometimes I do, because the last thing I'm thinking about is an offering because I'm thinking about your soul. I'm thinking about what are we going to do to get you to the next day of adversity and make you navigate it better than you did the last one. But thank God that I got men and women back there. They're like flag starters at a race. If I forget offering, give me an offering envelope. If I forget offering, they're like, Pastor Phil, don't you shut this service down without me being able to release my seed in the kingdom. Do you know why they're like that? Because they know that God has given them a promise and a convicted promise from a God who went to the cross and died for you, that if you'll trust him in the area of tithes and offerings, he says that he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He says that I'll stop Satan from his work against you. I'll make sure I protect your seed, both your money seed and your health seed. He says that he'll open up the windows of heaven, Jason. He says he'll provide for us and he will open up pathways and he will bless us in ways that no man or woman could do and no one could stop. Listen, when we release our seed, God releases something into our life. And I tell you what, Pastor Regina probably wouldn't like me saying this, but this is probably a little less than what I said the first service that's not on video camera. But I want you to know something. And I don't say this awkwardly or being puffed up. I want you to know that one of, or probably the biggest tither in your church that's been in this church since it started is Pastor Regina and I. Oh, now I know why she's not here this morning. Phew. She would hit me if she... Oh, I'm in trouble. Honey, I love you. I'm sorry. I promise you. The horse is getting back under the bridle and the saddle in just a minute. But I need people to know that I've heard some horrible things. I've heard said that we would take money from this church. Listen to me. When I take my wife to Hawaii and I take my wife to Aruba, and I'm doing both of those trips this year, I want you to not even get the foolish thought in your mind that I did that with your money or God's money. I did it through the God money that he created business-wise and work-wise that's in my life. Amen? Amen? Now, I will tell you that I thank God that we have tithing, faithful people here. I thank God that tithing is growing. I thank God that if I didn't pay a tithe at all, I still believe that the church would grow. But I tell you what, I would never come amongst people and preach on tithe and offering if it first hadn't resurrected my life. And so when I'm telling you that I believe in this, I want you to know something, that I don't bring a dime into my household where we don't give more than what our tithe is. Gina has to yell at me every month because I give money away, not just in the church, but I'll be at the grocery store, I'll be here, I'll be there. And she's like, Philip, are you nuts? Stop it. You're going to give all our money away. That's not possible. We serve God. So even when I give too much away, baby, God takes care of it and it comes back. So listen to me. I would never preach something, and the Lord could remove me from this earth if I was lying to you about believing in tithing and offering. Amen? So we're just going to take a tithe and an offering message just based upon your faith in your Father who will do you well. You know, I'm just giving a tithe. I don't mean to be mean, but I'm just giving a tithe and a little extra on just one check I got this month. And I'll get many more. Just the way it is. Because Regina and I didn't start this yesterday. We've been faithful for years. You know, I told a story on my little wife this morning. I'm going to tell it again before I preach the message. But I told you this week that I was going to tell you a story on Regina, didn't I? I promised that I was going to tell something about Pastor Regina, and I told it here on a Thursday night, but I'm going to go into it a little more today. So, I'm telling them Pastor Regina, and she ain't here. But right now, we're going to do our tithe and offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, God, we thank you for your goodness. Father, I don't just preach on tithe and offering because I think it's some biblical thing that a pastor should do. I preach on tithe and offering because out of the truth of tithing and offering, you transformed Regina and I's lives. Father, I remember that when I first started as a real Christian, I had backslidden, got saved at 5, backslidden by the time I got to college. The only part of my life I regret, God, is those few years that I was away from you. And Lord, I thank you that you even redeemed that time. But Lord, we release a tithe, we release an offering today without fear and with absolute boldness, because you're the one that said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see what I will do. See if I will not rebuke the devourer. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's not room enough to contain. God, those are your words, not mine. And I thank God that they're resident in my spirit, because you live in me and you live in these people here. And God, we're tithing and releasing offerings to you today, God, because we believe in who you are. And we give you honor within your covenant to know that our lives are safe in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Look at that. I'm mad. I wasn't even the first one to put. It's already out there. We're the church of strange things. There's a man that gave us a prophetic word, and he said we're going to have strange miracles. Well, I want you to know that we're also going to have just supernatural miracles that God does. So this morning, one of our strange miracles was a woman was only known that she was pregnant for 8 weeks. The baby came out healthy. I said, wouldn't it be nice if all women only had to find out the last 8 weeks of pregnancy, and they felt no morning sickness, no nothing. Amen. Y'all agree, don't you? Hallelujah. And then, we had a woman this morning who, believe it or not, went out of town. And guess what happened? She exchanged a vehicle. And someone took a van, and gave her a Cadillac. Is that crazy? And then, I just heard of another great miracle. So I think I'm going to be gracious this morning. And you don't have to turn the camera back, but this next time you're going to have to come up front. But today I'll let you just stand up back here with me. And if you'll just stand up for a minute, I know you don't have to talk in front of people. I want you to know that I just heard a testimony that we had prayed and you'd been suffering from glaucoma. And what's happening is those eyes are just clearing up, aren't they?
Yeah, I went to the doctor, and he said that I don't have glaucoma, and my eyes was 20/20. I didn't even need glasses.
We just had a testimony of someone who was suffering from glaucoma, but after prayer and after they dug in by their own faith as a couple in God, and after they gotten that word, they went and got their eyes rechecked, and now they don't have glaucoma. Not only do they not even need glasses, but the doctor declared they got 20/20 vision. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that's a great kickoff to our service today, because I hope y'all remember what we're teaching on. We started last week. We started a service called Honor is Due. And I want to go back and just touch base for just a minute, just to establish honor and what it means. And I also want to just take a couple seconds to reiterate that the first stance that must be taken for honor to be in a man's life or a woman's life is that we have to recognize God as our God and our Creator, and then we have to receive Jesus Christ. We have to receive God's plan in order for man to walk in everything that he's supposed to walk in. So the first thing I'm going to do is just real quick, I'm not going to spend as much time as we did last week dissecting this, but I want to remind you that in Romans chapter 13, are you guys ready? Romans chapter 13, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordination of God. So listen, every part of humanity, scientist-minded people, atheist-minded people, agnostic people, people that believe in other gods, whether it be Allah, ha-ha, Buddha, Dida, whatever it is out there, listen, everybody who believes in that stuff, and I want to say trash, but I want to be respectful. No, I'm kidding, Strong. I'm kidding. We don't play games down here in Kenton. If you got bad breath and you're in my face, I might tell you you got bad breath. That's just what we do in Kenton. We just talk straight. So I'm going to tell you, everybody who believes any kind of doctrinal trash, that's all it is. It's garbage. It could be burnt tomorrow, and the only thing it would do is embitter people's lives. Praise God. One time I took a union contract book, and I told a union official that the way they were using that book, all it would be good for is for them to start a campfire. And I'm putting you on notice that I don't care what religion you're a part of today, I'm going to give God such honor that I'm going to tell you that if it ain't the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you'd do better off getting your campfire started and putting you some hot dogs on and eating them good hot dogs and nourishing your belly than you would believing in false, ungodly, dead doctrine that excludes Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Y'all was a little quiet, but I'll say it for you. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, we're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that we have the heritage of young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that a king reordained this whole thing and said, listen to me, in my nation, you're going to, when the harp plays, you're going to give honor to the idol that I made. And they stood up. I hope that if you ever stood before President Donald Trump or any other president, I hope that if they had the audacity to call you as Christians and say, well, what do you believe about this God and this God and this God, that you would sit there and say, King, President Trump, whoever you are, I will give you honor as the president, but I want you to know right now, and I'm not careful about saying this, I take no time, I don't have to question, I'm not looking at your Secret Service men, I'm not worried about CNN, HateN, and any other N out there, news, I don't care. Ooh, I've got to be careful when I say that. People could think I'm meaning the wrong thing. I'm not talking about N's right now. You know, some people think that way. That's not me. I'm a redneck just like you. Hallelujah. But listen to this. I want you to understand something, that when we're sitting there, would we be strong enough if President Trump or the news media asked us, do you believe there's only one way to get to heaven? Would we be strong enough to say, yes, as for me, I don't believe in other gods. I don't believe in other paths. As for me, as a Christian, as a man of God, as a young man in the kingdom of God, the Bible says that there's only one way to get to my Father, and it is through Jesus Christ and the resurrected Savior being my Savior. And so therefore, that's what I believe. Amen. Give honor where honor is due. You know that Bible verse where it says here that the Bible, you have to understand that it goes in concession with what it is speaking. And I want you to see that it says here, for rulers are not a terror to good works. You know, right here in America, whether it be the mayor, whether it be the police, whether it be the president, we act like they are the rulers of terror and bad work, but if they would just do the constitutional thing and the things that God wants them to do, then they are not a terror to good works, but they are actually a terror to the evil. Police are not in charge to make the free man miserable. Police are in charge to make the wicked man get in order and limit his wrath on innocent people. Listen, our military was not established so we could go bullying around the world. Our military was established to make sure that we didn't have kings back in the day that once they found out how blessed America was, they wanted to put us back in bondage and back up under bondservantship. And I will tell you that what our military does is make sure that there might have been one 9/11, but there ain't been another. Amen? Come on, we're not afraid of authorities. Listen, we give honor where honor is due. Boy, I tell you what, I would never speak or I'd never post on Facebook like these kids do today. My mama was the most Holy Ghost-filled, timid little woman in the world, Miss Annie R. Walker. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. White gloves and everything. But let me tell you something. When us boys broke out and she said, Philip Christopher! It was no longer, hi, baby, mama's praying for you. No. It was how baby mama's bringing the thunder on that derriere to get you straightened out. Amen? Listen, when I got whipped at school, my little paddling from a teacher, even when it stung to the point where my eyes teared up, that paddling didn't do nothing that the fear was struck in me that when my daddy found out, boy, it was not going to be a good day. I tell you what's wrong in America today when parents get mad at the school for not teaching their kids anything, and then parents get mad at the school for their kids acting out? I got to tell you something. When I grew up, if you acted out at school, your mama wasn't going to go in there and yell at the parent for giving you discipline. Your mama was going to come in there, snatch you out of school, and straighten you up, and you were going to be so sore the next day you might need a pillow to sit down on. You know, we had a lot less crime back then. When prayer was in school, and when all people honored God and straightened their kids out, when the neighbors used to look out for kids, when the neighborhood was safe, and when we honored the police, let me tell you something, we didn't have no big shootings back then. Even that's an overstatement because they're just trying to take your Second Amendment's rights away. But I got to tell you something. Why aren't they as raged? They're raged about people getting killed. And don't get me wrong. I don't want no shootings in Dayton. I don't want no shootings anywhere. But why is there not a rage that you could have a few hundred people killed by traumatic shooting, but you're killing 989,000 babies every year by abortion? Give honor where honor is due. Before you ever think about taking my amendment rights away, why don't you think about repenting, getting your wrong doctrine out of our government, getting your trash out of our nations and out of our cities, holding people accountable, arresting people, whipping some tail. Why don't you put things back in order before you ever think about taking my gun away? Amen. Well, hallelujah. I guess I am getting strong. Amen? Because we believe in our guns. Hello. I'm from Hardin County, right here in Canton, Ohio. I believe in my amendments, in my rights. Don't come to my house thinking that just because I'm a preacher of the gospel that I'm going to sit there while you steal my house blind. Because I believe in the laws that bring people under order. Boy, I'm making you upset, aren't I? Listen, I'll turn one cheek, I'll turn the other cheek, but you don't want to see me after that. Hallelujah. No, oh, honey, I'm sorry. But it says right here in the Bible. Ooh, it says right here in the Bible. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Why do we live in a culture where people that do evil are not afraid anymore? You know, the last thing I would have ever wanted to get caught on tape doing was throwing water. I wouldn't even want to get caught on tape throwing a piece of paper at the police back in my day. Now people arrogantly videotape themselves disrespecting law enforcement, and we are sitting back here and we're afraid to judge it? No. I got to tell you something. You're going to get mad at me, but I'm going to put this right here on this video. People are going to see it later. I want you to know that not too long ago, about a year or two ago, there was a man doped up on PCP. And if you don't know anything about that dope, it can make some people supernaturally strong. And there was two police officers in a big city on the ground fighting this man. And he was cussing them, saying that as soon as he gets their gun, he's going to kill them. And I got to tell you something. Nobody that wrote that video and put it out there trying to shame the police even did a background check, because you know what? That guy was a 9-time aggressive felon. He had went from just stealing and beating people up to assaulting. Then he went to harsh crimes and carrying weapons. And here the people are mad because the police are on a man that has a little different skin color. I got to tell you something. It ain't the color of a man's skin. It's the measure of his heart that makes him something or not. And this devilish man was sitting there telling these hardworking police who obeyed the law, went to school, was going home to families, and was doing their best to protect us. These devilish men were sitting there saying, I'm going to kill you as soon as I get your gun. And one of the police had to go ahead after minutes of scrambling. This guy was so strong, they were getting weak, and one of the police shot that man. And someone came up to me and they said, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, and you also are, you know, a minority. No, I'm not. I'm an American. I want you to know something. As an American, black, white, in between, you're not a minority. You have all the laws of laying at your hand, and you have every right to go get a job. You have every right to eat. Guess what? I want you to know something, that I have driven all night long, sometimes a little above the speed limit, and I've never once been pulled over by the police just because I was in a red car or my skin was a little dark. Now, when I get too far above the speed limit, I've been pulled over. And not every time have I gotten a ticket. I'm an American. I'm not a minority. Get that trash off of me. When I was a young man, I went to job interviews, and I'd ask them, do you got the affirmative action program? If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it. You look it up. But I would ask companies, do you got the affirmative action program? And they'd get on weak-kneed and say, why are you asking? Because I want to know, do you have it? They said, well, no, but we treat people fair. I said, good, I'll be in for my interview. First thing that happened was I'd show up, I'd interview Strong, and they'd say, why did you ask about the affirmative action program? And I'd tell them, well, because if you were so disrespectful towards me that you had the affirmative action program where it tries to give minorities an edge up on getting a job, then I wouldn't even come in to interview with your disrespectful company. I said, because then you'd be taking my right away to prove to you that I'm a man that works by my name, by my effort, and I'm strong enough that I'm going to be your best employee, and you're not going to have me at the top of your charts because I got some affirmative action behind your name. You're going to have me at the top of your charts because I'm going to be here early, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do my job with such excellence that I'm going to even surprise you with how I do. And it has nothing to do with the color of my skin. It has everything to do with my desire to live for God, to represent Jesus, to love my family, because the Bible says that a man that shall not work shall not eat. It has everything to do with what's in my inner man, not my outward man. Quit playing games with life. You only get one chance to go at it. You have 120 years max. Why would you spend any of that time belly aching and whining around? If your kid went wild and you did your best, suck it up, pray up, and live your life strong. Listen, if you did your best and your mom and dad were abusive and mean, thank God that at 18 years old you got out from under that stuff. Suck it up, pray up, get with Jesus, and get this thing straightened out. Why? You know, I was dealing with a person the other day, and they were telling me that they were still suffering under the abuse of their father from 30 years ago. I said, man, I said, what is he by now, in his 90s? They said, oh, no, he died 29 years ago. Shaka-ta-kura-pa-ha. How can people tell me that they're under bondage over something that 29 years ago, the guy that perpetrated it is still dead? Now, don't get me wrong. If it was a year ago, if the grievance had happened a year or two ago and they were still getting out of it, brother, I'm all in. But 30 years later, you're telling me what your dead father did and still trying to use that as the reason why your life is all messed up. That's like black folks trying to get reparations for something that happened 300 years ago. This ain't a politically correct message, but I'm telling you, it's a Jesus correct message. Don't get mad at how I preach until you go to the scriptures, because Jesus went up to a man that was at the pool. He'd been there his whole life, paralyzed. You would think that of all people, Jesus would come up and say, Shakatokoto, what's wrong? Oh, I just feel so sorry for you. Jesus walked up to the man at the pool of Bethesda and said, hey, bro. Now I'm modernizing a little bit. What's up, dog? If you're white, what's up, dude? If you're somewhere in between, I don't know what the Chinese would say. What's up, fellow? I don't know what they would say. All I got to look for is Karate Kid and the old Bruce Lee movies where I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's up? How you doing? I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but I do know this, that Jesus said, dude, how long you going to sit here, man? Well, you don't understand the angel. I ain't asking you about the angel. You don't understand everybody. I didn't ask you about everybody else. I'm Jesus. You're lame. I'm here. I got power and authority over devils. I need to know, are you going to stay here your whole life or do you want to get up? Well, I guess I should get up. Amen. Hallelujah. How can a man get up and pick up a bed? A bed he's laid on 30-something years. Got so strong, he jumped up, picked that bed up, and ran out of there with it. You know, I do not see a story where he comes back and bellyaches about his 38 years there. I tell you what, I think we need to preach the Bible the way the Bible preaches. Do you remember the demoniac? You know, if that happened today, people would be so scared of him that they say, now, I know you got healed, brother, but what we're going to do is we're going to assign you 3 psychologists and 52 chains, and we're still going to, even though you're free, we're still going to keep chains on you, and we're going to look at you every day, and we're going to diagnose you every day because you were the demoniac. You know, you were out there in the tomb, scratching, cutting yourself, and you were demoniac. And all of a sudden, Jesus came, and all of a sudden, in one day, you're in your right mind sitting with your shoes all laced up, ready to eat a hamburger. We just don't know at the church and the world if we're just okay with that. I tell you what, it's time for us to give honor to God, to the fact that he is the creator of humanity. And when the Bible says nothing is impossible to him, he has a right to raise you up off your deathbed. He has a right to redeem your life. He has a right to tell you that your past does not matter. I don't care if you are a felon. I don't care if you are a drug addict. I don't care if you didn't have the right parents. I don't care where you've been. You have a right to get up under the covering of Jesus and give him the honor that is due him and leave your past behind you. It's time for us to quit playing games. You know, I'm sorry if you're a drug addict and you're recovering and you don't just expect me to sit around and listen to your little hermeneutical studies of your drug program and how they tell you to be an addict. That's not going to happen in my church. I don't want to hear you sit there and tell yourself, my name is so-and-so and I'm an addict. Ain't used in a year. One time I had a man that was an alcoholic. Only problem is he hadn't drank alcohol in 30 years. I said, brother, didn't you tell me you start drinking when you were 17? Yeah. I said, didn't you tell me you drank through the military? He said, yeah. I said, so now you had a 7-year stint of drinking. You got saved and you've been clean all that time. So you're now calling yourself an alcoholic. 7 years you're an alcoholic. You're now calling yourself an alcoholic for 4 times the amount of time you were alive actually drinking. Hello, my name is Philip, and I'm an addict. Really, did you shoot up last night? No. Did you shoot up today? No. Did you shoot up yesterday? Why are you still an addict? Listen, when I get over sickness, if you had diarrhea today, and you get healed up, and you eat tomorrow, and that stuff comes out solid, and you didn't have to go 7 times, you only went once or twice after you had enough water in you to get it out of you, you wouldn't be sitting there saying, hello, my name is Diarrhea Joe today. Why you got to be drug addict today? Why you got to be alcoholic today? Why you still got to be a sinner when you've been saved by grace and you're a brand new creature and that identification no longer applies to a blood-bought believer. Amen. It's time for us to give honor to the Word of God. I tell you what, I like psychologists. I like doctors. I love the medical field. I'm glad we have addiction programs. I'm glad that we have a law. I'm glad that we have systems in place to help humanity. The only thing I'm not glad about is that you won't give honor to my Father in heaven, because even when someone receives a supernatural miracle from healing of any sort, you do not want to just say, hey, our job is over. We're letting you go. Go represent us around the world, because Jesus stepped in and made you clean. Jesus did not look at the demoniac and say, brother, you stay right up under my arm. You can only go where I go. You have to physically be where I am. Did he say that? The world told the demoniac he was not fit to represent Jesus. So he went and said, Lord, do I have to go wherever you go? And Jesus said, brother, I sat with you for a whole couple minutes. You were in your right mind. You had your clothes on. I want you to stay around here and tell all the people that thought you were a maniac how good I am to you. In the same city where the demoniac brought terror and ran around tombs is the exact same city where God said, rise up and show them who you are today with my touch on your life. Amen? Oh, how am I going to get to the doctrinally sound part of this message if y'all keep pulling on my faith? I just want to tell you that the Bible says that we are to give honor where honor is due. In fact, what it really says here is that what we really need to do is that the Bible says right here in Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues. In other words, God expects you to have your life in order in every area of accountability. In other words, when it comes to pay taxes, look what it says. Render therefore to all their dues. In every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body, God expects you to do what is due and what is right. It says, tribute to whom tribute is due. That was Caesar. Give him his tax money. Custom to whom custom. In other words, honor people. Let me tell you something. I don't need to come into your house and break your rules. If you have a rule such as no smoking, no drinking in your house, I shouldn't be a rebellious dog and come in there and tell you I'm going to drink and smoke in your house. I should respectfully do that before or not come into your house. Do the customs that are required. I'm not going to come over to your house and tell you what your customs can be, but if I'm with you and you're drinking and smoking there, I ain't going to join in. You're going to offer and I'm going to say, hey, I love you, but no thanks today. But I'm not going to sit there and rewrite the rules of your house because I came into your house. So we're going to give custom where custom. Fear to whom fear? That's God. Listen to me. You better give fear and reverence to holy God. Listen, I'm not afraid to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you die in your sin and you meet God without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it's going to be the most fearful thing of your life to run into the vengeance of an angry God that has to deal with the wicked. And I'm not ripping that out of the Bible. Listen. Your parents love you if they're growing up the way they're supposed to. So they both whip you, discipline you, and reward you. And unfortunately, when you're a child, when you're a baby, you get the discipline way more than you get the reward. Because you need a lot more correction. The Bible says that who God loves, he rebukes and chastens every once in a while. Every 5 years? No, he rebukes and chastens often. Listen, if I'm a pastor that just sits you down and say, well, if you choose to drink, I guess it's okay. I'm a lying devil dog. If I'm a pastor that every time you want to break free and go do something, I just sit there and agree with, well, you just must not be ready yet. No, I'm going to tell you, you're in sin. You're going against God. You're in full-blown rebellion. And no wonder your life is a mess. And if your life ain't a mess right now and you went back into sin 30 days from now, it's going to be a train wreck. Now listen. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. I want you to know that the Lord says that because he's your Savior, there's some honor that's due him. John 8, he makes it real simple. He says, if you believe on me, now it was my word that started this. It's my word that saved you. And he doesn't say his word sets you free. See, sometimes people try to overuse the grace words to cover up mess. No, the Bible says that if you are saved, now you must continue in my word. You must work my word. You must let it grow in you. And my word being practiced over time will make you free. Bible doesn't say you get set free. You get redeemed and set free from sin. You get the right to have the sin nature broken off of you. You get the right to be a brand new creature in Christ. But I'm telling you right now that God's grace does not say, Bob, that you get to do all the things you used to do before you knew God. Grace says that now God will come upon you and not leave a man by himself and not leave a man wicked and weak, but he'll make him strong and allow him to be able to read the Bible, live by faith, and correct his life and be made free. Someone say amen. Amen. Boy, we're going to teach this thing right and real. And I love you. I'll love you right where you're at. We all will love you where we're at. But you got to understand something. That you ain't going to be wearing no diaper and pooping your pants at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. You get to do it when you're 6 weeks old. But as a Christian, eventually you've got to step up to where it says grow yourself up and become strong enough that you fight your battles and you win them. Amen? We got to learn how to wear our pants. We got to learn how to put our clothes on right. We got to learn how to walk and live and work. Now, I thought I was going to get to the marriage covenant today, but I'm not going to. All I'm going to be able to tell you is that we must honor God, which means that we're going to have to love each other, and we're going to have to love His Word. We're going to have to study to show ourselves approved, and we're going to have to be people that give up stuff that don't line up with the Word of God. We can't go sleep with our neighbor and be blessed. You can do it if you want to live like the devil and like the world. Listen, we can't go back to drugs and alcohol and be blessed. Listen, we can't live like any old way God will take care of us. No, no, no. God will work with you where you're at, but you're going to have to grow, 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 because the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God, the Bible says that if the word is sown into someone's heart, it will cause them to grow. If you're no stronger today than you were yesterday, we got to help. And if we're no stronger today than we were 30 years ago, we really got to change what we're doing. Amen? Hopefully, Pastor Regina will be back next Sunday, and I'll do a little more with this, and I'll stay a little more on track, because I got to tell you something. Honor is due. You know, the Bible says this. It's just like this. When you pay your rent or your mortgage, do you ever notice that your landlord is happy? And it's like, landlord, I didn't do anything but pay my bill on time, and I just paid you the $300 that was due. Well, you don't know what it's like for a landlord that has to struggle to make their own ends meet because they trusted people on 15 rentals that can't be faithful. Because sometimes people are so selfish that they don't think about their landlord. Your landlord is struggling when they shouldn't, because they're providing you a service, but you are being unfaithful. And let me tell you something. Why should God have to suffer shame on His name? Why should God have to suffer through your fears? Why should God have to suffer through our dishonor towards Him when He's given us all the power in the world to live His way? And if we would be patient and wait till we're married to a man of God, we could have a blessed marriage for the next 40, 50, 60 years, but we can't keep our pants up for 3 months to see if he's a real man or not. Well, shout hallelujah. Switching jobs every 5 minutes because you can't get to work on time and you can't be faithful over 3 months worth of work. So God can't give you a new car or a car that can make it work because you can't even get to work. I love you, but my goodness, you're going to have to give something and do something right if you're going to get an outcome that's right. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare your glory, God. We look to you, we honor you, we love you. And God, we thank you, Father, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for our future that's blessed. And God, we refuse to be a people that hide in the shadows. We refuse to be a people that put our light up under some bushel. We refuse to not have an answer in our mouth. We refuse to not have an answer in our heart. And we refuse to not have a tenacious faith. You know what? I'm going to tell a story on your pastor, Regina. I know she thought she was going to get away without it being told. Maybe you heard it because I told it a few weeks ago. But I want you to know, I want you to think about all the pastors and all the people you've ever known and see if you've ever heard a story like this. But when Regina and I was first called to come to Kenton, the first thing that happened was we just came over here to do a couple messages. And they were at Sunday night up at the radio station. Only Sunday night. I don't know that we even had the rental right to be there on any other night. It was only Sunday night. And at that time, there's a man that's now the mayor that would be leading those services. And the first time I came over and preached, and boy, we had a throwdown. But then they came back and said, well, we think your wife should come and preach. And at that time, we were not pastors. We were just evangelists that would go out and do the work. So Pastor Regina comes over here, and she preaches the fire down. People get saved. Ladies get set free. But do you know what your pastor, Miss Regina, had done? During her time of fasting and praying, she had wrote a full message for Monday night. Did you hear what I said? Pastor Regina, when she first came to Kenton, wrote a full message for Monday night. We did not even have a rental space. We did not even have a building. We were only here to do Sunday night. We were never, ever going to even do Monday night. And when I found out she did it, she didn't even tell me it was hidden. Her book fell open at home when I was praying, asking God, are we ready to be pastors again? Because we tried it the first time. It didn't work out real well. And I felt like, man, we're going to have to pastor again. Is Regina ready? And her book fell open, and I saw the message she preached on Sunday night. And then I saw the message she was ready to preach on Monday night right here in downtown Kenton, Ohio. You guys think I'm strange. That don't even make sense. I tell you what, I've saw some of the greatest evangelists in the world. Heard some of them, read their stories. I don't remember reading where an evangelist said, I went into a one-night meeting, one rental, not even authorized to be there the next night, and wrote a message in honor of God just in case he wanted to have revival. I made her tell me. I said, why'd you write that message? I already knew because God showed me. She said, honey, leave me alone. I said, no, I got to know why. Get away from me. You shouldn't even be into my personal stuff. I said, I got to know why you wrote that message, honey. She said, well, honey, I wrote that message just in case God wanted to have revival. And you know, we've been accused of not loving people in Kent. Go around, ask any pastor if they've ever written a message just in case God wants to break out on revival on a night that's not even scheduled to be anything but Monday night football in Hardin County. Amen? Don't you think that she deserves a little honor for that? You know, the first time I was here, I think people thought that we couldn't afford to get a hotel room. Because I stayed here 21 days. Sometimes between service, we'd do service on Monday night, on the morning, and then we'd do service on night. I refused to go get a hotel. Because I just wanted to be down in the basement here in the presence of God. I fasted and prayed the first 21 days right up here on this pulpit. And I tell you what, you can ask the mayor at that time. He's being a little cocky. He thought he was going to come in here and show me how he could stay up all night praying. Well, I got to tell you something. When he went to bed, I was praying. And when he woke up, I was praying. I don't care if people like it or not. Regina and I, my little squeaky voice, is meant for Kenton, Ohio. And I tell you what, the only way you're going to get me out of here is you live for Christ and have the Lord come back so he can set us free. But 20, 30 years from now, if the Lord don't come back, you're going to have to deal with this squeaky voice little black man right here in Kenton, Ohio. Listen, live streamers, we love you. Live streamers, we love you. And the church of the second mile, we love you. And I promise you something. I pray that one day my faith catches up to Pastor Regina. And I pray, I think when I go to the new building, maybe every Sunday, at least for a month or two, I'll just write a sermon for Monday night in honor of her and God, just in case the Lord wants to have a revival. Whew, we love you guys. Have a great day. Father, I pray blessing over your people. God, as they honor you, as they look for you. Father, as they make commitments to you. God, as they become unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As they stand before you and deny what it looks like in the natural. And receive what you're speaking to them by faith. Lord, they are more than conquerors. They're more than overcomers. They're going to set their priorities right. They're going to overcome and they're going to win in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise.